Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in, Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. It's Thursday. Lee Kelly is with me in studio, and we are inching closer to the weekend and a lot to get to today. Of course, Indiana off today. They're back at it tomorrow with a home game against Michigan. The Hoosiers, as everyone I'm sure that listens to this program knows, in the midst of a five-game losing streak in conference play. And Lee, you and I hadn't caught up for a while. We were talking about, before we came on today, can you believe where the IU team is at? Did you ever think this would happen? You know, what did you think that the team would be capable of doing this season? And here's what I said, and I think that the more you talk to reasonable fans, they have maybe this similar expectation. I didn't think Indiana would be a Final Four team. Maybe in a perfect world they'd make a nice Sweet 16 or Elite Eight run. I think everybody would be thrilled to death with that. I thought this would be an Indiana team that, for the most part, soundly was in the NCAA tournament. Not sure they'd be some great seed, but soundly would get in, and you wouldn't really ever have moments like fans are now. Is this team going to get in the tournament? You know, every game now, it's not just a win or lose situation. It's a tournament situation too. So I guess I didn't think we'd ever experience that this year, one. Number two, I knew that the Big Ten would be tough. That especially became clear once the season and the non-conference season got rolling pretty good. But I guess what I never realized or never thought would happen is that they would lose five in a row at any point. I mean, did I think they'd lose to Michigan and Michigan State? Yes. Did I think they would probably slip up and lose to somebody that you don't think they should lose to, at least on paper? Yes. No problems with any of that. But they maybe have had a bad streak during the season where they lost three in a row. Sure, that's reasonable. I don't know that I ever thought they'd lose five games consecutively in the Big Ten Conference. And I guess when you've got expectations that are here, they weren't way over there, but they were just in the middle. And the reality right now is pretty low. It's a hard pill to swallow.
First of all, I'm impressed that you know reasonable fans, because I didn't realize there were many out there.
Well, you spend a lot of hours on Facebook, so you've lost all reality of reasonable fans.
Absolutely. You know, there were some things that took place, and in particular, I did not realize how good Maryland was going to be. Purdue's much better than I thought they were going to be, playing with a lot of confidence. Some people have stepped up for them. So a lot of things happened that I didn't realize, nor did a lot of people, that was going to happen. And I think IU just lost all of their confidence at some point early in that five-game skid. It's one thing to get beat by Duke. It's another to get beat badly by Duke, but I thought they came back from that fairly well. But some of the other losses and some of the defenses, being played by other teams – have certainly hurt IU, but I think a lot of it's a confidence factor. I don't know how the suspension of Green factors into all of this, but it seems like a lot of little things and maybe a couple of big things.
Yeah, moving pieces with this team on and off the floor right now. It just looks like a team that's discombobulated. I don't know what word. We've used a thousand different words over the last week and a half or so to try to describe what's going on at Indiana. But that's Lee Kelly. He's with me on Thursdays. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today, presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at Big Ten Conference games last night. Some interesting scores to pay attention to. Also, I don't know, no one knows anything right now, but not good news for Victor Oladipo. If you haven't heard, serious injury to his right knee. is how the Indiana Pacers described things last night. Going to have an MRI today, but we'll talk briefly about that. And a little recruiting stuff. We're going to talk about Armon Franklin coming up here in just a few moments as well. His team last night won the Indianapolis City Championship, and a few other notes about Armon that I think you will enjoy. That's all coming up here in the first segment, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two, it's always great to catch up with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We will talk with Alex about IU and Michigan primarily. And, of course, as we do every day, and as we did last week with Alex, we'll get his thoughts on the struggles of this team. And I tell you, I said this, Lee, earlier in the week, this could be a turnaround week. And I guess at any moment in the season, it could be the beginning of a turnaround. If you can string together a couple wins in the Big Ten Conference back-to-back, that'll give you really even one win, but definitely two. That gives some momentum. That helps dig out a little bit for some of the unexpected losses in the conference record. But I said earlier this week, if Indiana could go on the road, and I felt like, and I still feel this way, even though they lost, I feel like they're the better team against Northwestern. I feel like they're just not playing well right now. They're not playing with a lot of energy. Offensive problems. Defense hasn't been great. You know, if they're going to be a defense-first team, it's not the same level of defense. There for a moment in that game, that second half, I thought Indiana played really solid defense and lockdown. But if they're going to be a defensive-oriented team that it looks like Archie Miller's pushing them to be, they've even got work to do on the defensive side too. Let's not fool ourselves. It's not just an offensive thing. But I said if Indiana could beat Northwestern on the road, and I felt like they could, and then come back and play Michigan competitively and give them themselves an opportunity to win the game at the end, that would be a turnaround. They'd get a win against Northwestern on the road, a tough loss but very competitive performance against Michigan. Then you get to go to Rutgers. That's a game you got to win, even though it's on the road. And if you can win two of those three and still play well on the loss, I can justify that. That's reasonable to me. However, when you don't beat Northwestern, that Michigan game stares you down a lot harder, because instead of just being a game where maybe you could play competitive and be right there and have a chance to win at the end, even if you don't, and still build off of that, I don't know that you can now. So things just not going well. We'll talk a lot about those subjects with Alex when he joins us.
Yeah, certain things happened. You mentioned it yesterday on the show. Who expected the young man from Northwestern to have the game he had?
Fouls on,
It's 6 points, I think you said, for the entire season.
And he was injured. I mean, the more you read into it a little bit, and I get a lot of comments back whenever we say anything, whether it's right or wrong or whatever, on this program, which I appreciate because it tells us people are listening. But, you know, he was injured. He did miss some serious minutes. But still, you know, a guy has a breakout game against you, it's a hard thing to deal with.
Yeah, you can't plan for things like that. And a tip of the cap to the young man for having that kind of a game. You know, everybody hopes to have a game or every game like that, but not belittling his performance, but you just can't plan for that.
Yeah.
And so you hit it right on the head yesterday during the show. So a lot of little things like that have happened. Demezi Anderson came into the game. If he could have played any worse in that minute and a half stretch, I don't know what else he could have done short of spilling water on the coach or something. So it's just a lot of little things. He's a better ball player than that minute and a half stretch showed. And other people are better shooters than they're showing. I don't know how you do that.
And I don't want to get carried away here as we go through the lineup with conversation, but you bring up a great point. Like Demezi Anderson, here's another thing that's happening with Indiana right now. The rotations have gotten smaller because Archie Miller is trying to play guys, and he said this basically in the press conference after the Northwestern game, he's trying to play to win. He's trying to play guys a little bit longer than what maybe he would prefer to do, because, you know, some guys haven't played very well right now. There's some injuries. There's some reasons that the rotation of players is shorter than what it has been. And so when a guy like Demezi Anderson, for example, gets in, who we've seen have some good moments, we definitely know he can score the basketball from his high school career. Whether he's ready to do that consistently at the Big Ten, we don't know just yet. But when he does finally get in, what is he? He's tight as can be. I would be, you would be, anyone would be that wasn't playing on a regular basis. So he goes in, and you know what? Instead of coming out and popping a couple shots or just buckling down on defense and some basic things,
he looks terrible. He's just tight as can be. So that's another thing as well to add to the long list. When things like this go wrong, it just derails other things as well. But no question about it. Moving on in the guest lineup later today after Alex Bozich, Lee and I have the Southern Indiana basketball update. It's a weekly segment we do. It's very fast moving. We'll have a player of the week. We'll give you all the top performances over the last 7 days or so of high school basketball. We'll turn our attention to the weekend as well. We'll give you the schedule. We'll pick a game of the week. We'll preview some of the big games and some other stuff today as well. It's always fun. Our goal is to get as many high schools from the area, as many high school names, players' names on the segment as well. We just want to recognize each week all that's going well with high school basketball here in Clark and Floyd counties. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Now let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. And I'm going to start with one that, boy, it's a negative one. We all love Victor Oladipo. Just love him and what he's been able to do on the court for the Pacers, returning to the state of Indiana where he's beloved, has been just tremendous to watch. And, you know, I find myself paying a little bit more attention to the Pacers because they're competitive. They're winning games. You don't know what their playoff hopes might be like at this point. And last night, scrolling through the Twitter feed, looking at some college basketball scores, this pops up. Injury update. This is from the Pacers. Injury update. After suffering a serious injury to his right knee, Victor Oladipo will have an MRI tomorrow, and an update will be provided then. That's, like, devastating. Then you see a couple pictures of the crowd, the players, that is, surrounding him on the floor. He is just loved, and to see him go down, I hope that it doesn't send the Pacers into a tailwind-type situation as well, because he's meant so much to them and really has quickly become the face of their franchise and, in many ways, the state of Indiana basketball as a whole as well. And that's about as devastating as of news as you could tell me on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's comparable to Peyton Manning going down and any other face of a franchise which becomes the face of the state and so on, and you hate to see that, and especially for people that appear to be nice people. I've never met him, but everybody talks positively about this young man, and it's just a shame that it happens, but it's one of those things there's no way to see it coming down the line.
Absolutely. So nothing official, at least that I've seen as of this hour in the day, but it sure doesn't look good for Victor Oladipo based on what they saw last night. So let's hope that whatever they saw, that it's as minimal as possible, but still looks like it could be very serious no matter what the official outcome is following the MRI. But very sad news for Vic and for the Pacers, and let's all wish that there's some positive results. And I can tell you one thing, that dude's going to get a lot of get-well cards. He's going to have a lot of fans rooting for him when he comes back, or because he treats people the right way. You know, he did it at Indiana. He takes time for people. He does the little things off the court, and that's every bit as much as why he is who he is and popular as he is. It's not just his on-the-court performances. He's been great, but it's the off-the-court stuff as well. A couple Big Ten things to mention. I find myself looking more and more at Big Ten scores and watching other games when I have a couple free minutes. And last night, I tell you what, Purdue with a 79-67 win at Ohio State. And I thought to myself, man, that's a really good win for Purdue to go on the road and win by double digits. And it was closer than that until really the final minute and a half or so. And then I look at Ohio State's record. They're 12-6 overall, and they're 2-5 in the Big Ten Conference. And then we were talking earlier before the show, and they've now lost 5 in a row, I believe it is. So you talk about Ohio State and Chris Holtmann, a coach that I love. I brag on him and Archie being kind of the future of the conference as far as young coaches go. They were tremendous in the non-conference season. They early on were turning some heads when this wasn't supposed to be an Ohio State team that was to turn heads, and they did. And then you see that they're 5 in a row as far as losses as well, and it can set you back to reality that this stuff happens. What Indiana's going through right now, it happens not just for the Hoosiers, but for the Buckeyes and for other conferences, it happens. This is a tough deal. College basketball at the high major level is tough. It's really tough.
Yeah, it really is. And I looked up Ohio State's record as well. They were 12-1. That one loss came to Syracuse, so nothing shy about that. I mean, Syracuse, a good ball club, and they've fallen on hard times as well. They are not getting off to slow starts necessarily. They got out to a lead last night, and then just like flipping a switch, they just stopped playing like they had been.
Also last night, Wisconsin, a 12-point winner against Illinois. That score was 72-60. And one other headline before we close out this first segment and get to Alex Bozich. Armon Franklin, I've been bragging on him. I've been watching in all the recruits, their stats and performances. Last night, he was 6 of 8 from three-point land. He had 29 points, a game high, to lead Indianapolis Cathedral to the city championship in Indianapolis for the 2018-19 season. Cathedral's ranked number 4. They absolutely just whacked 3A number 5, Crispus Attucks, who we saw take Jeffersonville. Did they beat Jeff at home?
They did.
They did beat Jeff at home in a very high-scoring affair. So they're a very good team. 78-48 was that final score. So Armon Franklin and Cathedral are playing some great basketball right now. And I've not seen Armon Franklin play this season other than maybe some clips online. But his stats have been tremendous. I talk with his coach Delaney often. He is just high as can be on not him as a player overall, but how especially he's played this season. He's taken his game to another level. And then you heard Jeff Rabjohn yesterday on this show say that Armon Franklin is having the senior season of development and growth, much like Rob Phinisee had last year for McCutchen. And we know when Rob's been healthy, what he's added and brought unexpectedly, especially early in the year, what he's brought to this Indiana team. So we're going to have Coach Delaney with us tomorrow on the program for an update to talk about Armon and what's he changed in his game, what's grown for him, and how ready is he now for Indiana? Because when you hear 6 of 8 from three-point land, I'd say a lot of people would vote to put him on right now, given Indiana's troubles in shooting. So I wanted to point that out. And also, a great read today over at Inside the Hall. I'm sure this will come up with Alex when he joins us in the next segment, about Armon Franklin's relationship with his aunt and how it kind of helped shape his basketball path through the years. Of course, his aunt is an assistant coach, is the coach, at Penn State, the women's program, and so obviously knows the Big Ten Conference from the women's side and you know, the geographics of it and what it takes. And so it's an interesting story. I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure we'll talk with Alex about that coming up in the next segment. That's the headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Our headlines each day are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. It's Thursday, Lee Kelly, and I'm pretty sure that means it's Cheeseburger Thursday at Hoopsters. That sounds pretty good. Might have to head there later. So good stuff. We'll head to a break. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is next. We'll talk IU Michigan, and we'll just talk about the struggles that Indiana's going through right now. There's no other way to put it. We'll do that next with Alex right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins Lee Kelly and I each Thursday on the show. We talk, of course, IU basketball. Today we'll talk about IU struggles. We'll talk about the IU-Michigan game, which is going to be a tough one for Indiana as well. But, Alex, I know you're engulfed in this stuff all day long. It's what you do for a living. You cover everything. You're at all the press conferences. You're at most of the games. You live this stuff. And so I know that you hear a lot from fans and others that right now are very, very negative about this team. So let's start with something positive today, at least to begin our conversation. And That's Armon Franklin. I have been singing his praises now just based off of what I've seen him do and the conversations I've had with Coach Delaney at Cathedral about how well he's been playing and how he's grown his game to get ready for the Big Ten level. And then, of course, last night it wasn't a sectional or a regional or a state championship, but it's a big deal in Indianapolis to win either the city tournament or the Marion County tournament. And Indianapolis Cathedral won that city tournament behind a big, big week from Armon Franklin, and they won it against a very good Crispus Attucks team by 30 points. I think it shows that Armon Franklin was good when he committed to Indiana, signed with Indiana, and he's made some real improvements in his game to get ready for high major college basketball.
Yeah, the thing that's really impressed me this season with him is just his ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter, which obviously this Indiana team could really use, and it kind of gives me, some hope that he's going to be able to come in from day one and carve out a role in this team, because you just kind of look at the roster moving forward, and there's obviously going to be some holes to fill with guys moving on after this season. And Franklin, as he continues to go through his senior season, continues to play better, just shoots the ball terrifically from the perimeter. He looks like a guy who's going to be able to come in from day one and contribute. Not saying they have the impact of a Romeo Langford or a Rob Fennessy even, but you know, he's got a chance, I think, to come in and play from day one. And the thing about him is, obviously, comes from, I heard you guys talking a little bit in the last segment. You know, his aunt obviously coaches at the Big Ten level, former WNBA player, so he's been around basketball his whole life, and I think he's going to know what it takes to succeed once he gets into college, take it seriously, and he's going to be, I think, a guy who's a valuable contributor to Indiana basketball starting next season and for the foreseeable future.
You know, we're going to have, and you bring up a good point, talking about roster moves. I think we all assume that Romeo will be one of those open spots. Of course, Juwan Morgan is a senior as well, and you'll lose some players to graduation. But, and who knows what else could happen. We are going to have a number of changes in this roster. I don't want to look ahead too far just yet, because there's a great part of the season ahead and still some, I think, very exciting moments potentially for this team if they can get it turned around. But there's going to be some interesting discussions, I'll say, to be had about roles and who does what and what things next year could look like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this, you know, I think what we've learned the most in this stretch of five straight losses is there's some, you know, problems that need to be addressed in the off season, potentially specifically with shooting and just guys who are going to buy in maybe more to the offensive philosophy of what Archie Miller wants to do. And they're going to have to find somebody next year that can make shots more reliably, whether that's a grad transfer route, whether that's a guy like Armon Franklin coming in, whether it's, maybe a name that we haven't heard about that's still in high school that comes in next year. But, you know, I think that's the biggest challenge that the coaching staff has to address moving forward, is this team just doesn't have enough shooters best utilized its two strengths, which are Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan, you know, getting to the paint and scoring at the basket. If you don't have guys around them that can effectively space the floor, it just becomes so easy to guard you. And that's really what teams have done recently, right? They've dared Indiana to take threes, and until Indiana starts making some perimeter shots at a decent clip, they're going to continue to struggle to score and to play efficiently on the offensive end.
Help me here, Alex, and I know I've read these rules, but I don't really know. But talking about players evaluating them over the at the end of the season and over the summer, if IU had a player that they really didn't want to come back, is there a way to do that? Can you pull the scholarship? What is available and what isn't as far as IU in the future?
Yeah, you can't pull a scholarship. The student Bill of Rights at IU basically says that, you know, if someone's going to be guaranteed their scholarship for the duration of their eligibility. Now, obviously, you can have conversation. And this just it's not just in Indiana. A lot of schools are going to a system like this. However, transfers are at an all-time high. And, you know, if there's a conversation between a coaching staff and parents and a player where someone has a feeling that they're not going to have the role that they want moving forward, it's probably in the best interest of both parties to kind of part ways and, you know, that you help the kid find a better spot moving forward. But in terms of just pulling a scholarship and saying you're not wanted here anymore, that's not something that you can do at Indiana or at most schools. I'm not saying it doesn't happen other places. It's just not something that would happen at IU, kind of under the Bill of Rights that Fred Glass introduced a couple of years ago. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, when you offer somebody a scholarship, you're committing to, keep them as a part of your program. Now, obviously, if you break rules or you do something that's kind of sheds a bad light on the program, that's a different situation. But as long as you're keeping your grades and, doing what you're supposed to do on and off the court for the most part, I think, they're going to be kept. Now, that doesn't mean that nobody's going to transfer. That just means that from a legality or kind of what the rules are, that you can't just tell someone, we don't want you anymore, you need to go away.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, joining myself and Lee Kelly here on the Hoosier Report each Thursday. Before we get into IU, the team, and the Michigan game and that sort of thing, let's talk a little bit about Devontae Green. There were social media rumors that he would not make the trip or did not make the trip to Northwestern. I assume that primarily got started when there were some photos of the shoot around and maybe he wasn't spotted in some of those photos. I don't know that for sure. A statement was put out about 7:30 that was about, two or three sentences maximum, with all the basics that you can imagine would be put out in a statement that says a player did not make the trip and is not going to play. No further comment will be made, essentially was the depth of the statement. Archie Miller was asked about Devontae Green in the post-game press conference. He referred back to the statement. So everybody is left to speculate, which with social media is never a good thing. Because I've already seen people pin him for what they are sure that this is. It's definitely this, or it's definitely this. Well, we don't know for sure what it could be. We can only speculate. And I don't want to do too much speculation on the program, but I've got to ask you, because people are tweeting and texting and asking me nonstop, what is the deal? Do you know anything at all? Do you have any insight on why he didn't make the trip? And is this going to be something that's short? Is it going to be something that's long-term? Do we have any clue whatsoever?
Yeah, it's a delicate thing. Obviously, you hear things, people tell you things, but, unless the program puts out something definitive, I'm not real comfortable kind of stating publicly what kind of the background noise or whatever it is on this. It's my understanding that it's an indefinite suspension. Now, what that means exactly, does it mean 2 games, 3 games, 4, who knows? I think it's going to be a game-by-game thing where we show up and see if he's dressed or if he's with the team, and then we'll know he's back. But in terms of the specifics of his situation, I don't feel comfortable speculating on what may or may not have happened. Obviously, people are going to want to know. It kind of goes back to the same thing with the entries. These are this has been, and this is not an Archie Miller thing. This is not a IU athletic department thing. This goes on a lot of places. There's especially in football, there's no rule that says they have to release what the information is or what happened. Now, would it be nice to avoid some of the speculation? Yes, but you also don't want to throw a college kid under the bus. These guys are still learning. They make mistakes. Whatever happened, I'm sure it's being addressed internally, and we'll see what happens going forward. But, I know everyone kind of with the social media stuff and 24/7 news cycle, we all want to know everything that's going on at all times. And, it's one story and then that's over and then it's on to the next. And it's just like this constant need for information, which is great. But in a situation like this, I kind of understand, you just kind of handle it internally. You put out a statement, you move on. And when he's back and dressed again, that's when he'll play. I mean, there's nothing more to it like that. I don't think it does any of us any good to speculate. I know we all want to know, but I think it's best that those things are just kept in-house and handled by the people in the athletic department and the people that are running the basketball program.
Alex, this is just my thinking, and I could be completely off here, but he did not make the trip at all. It wasn't like he was on the bench and didn't play or wasn't dressed. If he's not at the home game, around the bench, on the bench, in street clothes, warm-up, whatever, and then doesn't make, maybe the next road trip to Rutgers, that would tell me that it's something pretty serious where the indefinite suspension might truly mean indefinite for a period of time. But if he's back, it's a home game, he's around the team, he's on the bench in some form or fashion, then that makes you believe it, you know, it's a matter of time until maybe he does make a return. Is that a fair opinion?
I don't know that I'd read too much into him not being at the road game. If a guy's suspended, there's no reason to take him to the game, right? I mean, I don't mean that he's not around the team. I would expect that he's still around the team. I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, if he's not with the team, to me that tells me he's not on. Like, when they're practicing and stuff, doing team activities, that would tell me he's, like, off the team, which I don't – is obviously not the case. So I would expect that he's still doing – what he needs to do to stay in basketball shape, practicing with the team. I just think it's a, if you read the statement, it's, you know, he's suspended from games. So it's not like he's, you know, not with the team anymore. It's just that he's suspended from playing. And if a guy's suspended from playing, you don't take him on a road trip. I mean, that's even going back to when Tom Crean was the coach, if guys were suspended, they didn't travel. And, you know, the suspensions were handled the same way that, under him, it was, you know, guys suspended indefinitely, and when he plays, he's going to play again. So it's not a, it's not some secret thing that people, they don't want people to know some, you know, grand secret. It's just more of a privacy thing. And I think, you know, I get in the NBA saying why guys suspended, right? But this is college basketball. These guys aren't being paid. They're students. And I don't, you know, everyone, there's, like I said, there's people feel like for some reason they're entitled to know what happened, and I just don't subscribe to that. Like, it's fine to want to know what happened, but, you know, just let the people in charge handle it, and when he's available again, he'll suit up and play.
I enjoy reading your forum on Inside the Hole because they always keep me up to date on everything going on, and being someone who does share some thoughts on Facebook from time to time, it does make me laugh. But let me ask you, one of the things that people notice, and it kind of surprises me a little bit, is Romeo's thumb. And at lunch yesterday with a group of gentlemen, they were talking about, hey, he didn't have any tape on his thumb to start the game, and then he was on the bench getting the thumb taped up. What do you think that means? And I really don't have an answer for that. So I shall ask you today, anything being said about the thumb and about the taping or non-taping of the thumb for Romeo Langford?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because at Northwestern, I was up at that game and somebody made the comment to me as they were warming up, oh, there's no tape on Romeo's hand. And it's like something I don't really even pay attention to or recognize. Because going back to the Romney games last year, he was kind of wearing that, and I know that his wrist has bothered him, or his thumb, whatever it is, from time to time. But I just assume if he's out there in uniform playing, he's healthy enough to play. So I don't I wouldn't expect it to ever be a thing that Romeo uses as an excuse. Now, maybe his thumb is bothering him, maybe his wrist is bothering him, but he's going to play through it regardless of whatever it is. And I don't know for a fact that it is or is not bothering him, and I don't know what the significance is of the tape, but maybe it's something that he's gotten used to doing over a course of time. And you know, I know he didn't wear it the last game, doesn't mean he's not going to do it moving forward, but I don't really know that there's any thing to be gleaned from it, other than you know, going back to last year, I can remember I think it was the ESPN game, Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the game against Darius Bazley, it almost seemed like he was favoring it at times then, and
yeah,
at different points. And this season, it's I've seen him look down at it, or maybe kind of, you know, kind of stretched out. But I don't know if it's something that it really is serious or is bothering him. But as I said, I mean, I would just expect that he's going to continue to go out there and give it his best and play through it, even if it is giving him some type of pain. I wouldn't, you know, IU's not going to put him out there if he's not clear to go, so I wouldn't read too much into it one way or the other, if he's got it on or if he doesn't.
Absolutely. Talking with Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Let's talk IU Michigan. Boy, it would sure be nice for Indiana to be going into this game with a win earlier in the week under their belts. That obviously didn't happen at Northwestern, so the prize for that, taking on a top five ranked Michigan team, although it is at home. Indiana, when they went to Ann Arbor, got off to a bad start. They were able to come back and make it, I guess, semi-competitive. I think an 11-point or 10-point difference in the final score, if I remember correctly. So can Indiana – I'm not even going to ask if they can win this game. Can Indiana be competitive in this game at home on Friday?
Oh, absolutely. I think they'll be competitive. I think they have a – I mean, I'm not going to predict they're going to win, but I think they have a pretty good shot at it. You know, it's interesting. We just recorded a podcast with Dylan Burkhardt of UM Hoops. We just posted it. I would recommend listening to it. But, you know, he mentioned Michigan's not playing particularly well right now, which is true. But he also gave some perspective, which I think, you know, Indiana fans don't necessarily want to hear this at this point, but Indiana's stretch of five games, four of those games have been on the road. Really the only game in the stretch that I feel like was kind of a complete laying an egg was the Nebraska game at home. Now, have they played well lately? Obviously not, but they've played four of the last five on the road. They've lost one home game all year. So unless we see a repeat of what happened against Nebraska, which I just don't see happening again at home, Indiana's going to be competitive in this game. Now, do I think they're going to win? I mean, I think there's a decent chance of it. I wouldn't predict it, but I think they're going to play well. Michigan is not playing well at this particular time. They need a buzzer beater to beat Minnesota. They got beat by 10 at Wisconsin. At some point, you feel like Indiana's going to snap out of this. Now, whether that's Friday, them winning, I mean, they could play really well and Michigan plays well and still lose the game. But I think this is a game where they're going to have a shot to win.
Alex, as you look at the teams and the way they're playing, and I've had – an opportunity to watch some of these teams lately. Michigan State I saw for the first time the other night, and Wisconsin in that game against Michigan. So who's playing the best ball right now, in your opinion, in the Big Ten, you know, just based on the game?
Michigan State, without a doubt. Okay. I mean, they don't have one of their three best players, and they're still just kind of mowing down teams in this league. I think they play at Iowa tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So that'll be interesting. But they're an older team. They've got the best point guard in the Big Ten, and Cassius Winston. He's playing at a Big Ten Player of the Year level. They've got Nick Ward, who's another upperclassman that's just a great offensive rebounder, finisher in the paint. And they've got a Hall of Fame coach. And so they're really connected as a team right now. They're playing team basketball. It's not just one guy every night that's doing all the work, or two guys. It's, you know, they have seven or eight guys that are playing well with some consistency, and that's kind of what's missing from Indiana's team, right? You have two, you know, guys who are, you know, you would say top 10 in terms of talent in the league, but beyond that, what do you have on a consistent basis? And that's really what is missing from Indiana and a lot of the other teams that are struggling in the league right now. I mean, Nebraska just beat Indiana at home, and then they lose to Michigan State at home, lose at Rutgers. They have an old team, but, you know, they don't have kind of the depth to have consistent play. Ohio State started out 12-1, and now they've lost five straight as well. It's, you know, unless you have an older team or unless you have depth, you're going to have a part of the season where you struggle. And the key is, you know, limiting those streaks to, you know, lose two or three in a row. But you can't lose any of the last five in a row. I mean, if this goes to eight or something like that, I mean, it's going to be a tough hole to dig out of. This, to me, is these next three games, they've got to at least win one, right? They've got to find a way to win one of these games at minimum. If they can win two, I think you start to feel better about what they can do in February, because there's a lot of home games. I mean, this stretch of games, 6 of 8 on the road, I mean, this team has not proven it can win away from Assembly Hall. So I don't know that what people were expecting to happen in this stretch, but you know, I don't think any of the road losses that they've had are, you can be, I mean, they've played poorly in some of them, but I don't necessarily think you can be surprised that they lost at Michigan, or they lost at Maryland, or they lost at Purdue, or they lost at even Northwestern. So we'll see what they're made of, I think, in February. If they start losing home games, the season, I think, is really kind of gone in the tank. But right now, I think the only loss that I look at and say, wow, that was truly a bad loss, that was the Nebraska game, and that's why it's important that they protect home court moving forward. But, you know, Michigan State right now is definitely a long-winded answer, but Michigan State's the class of the league right now, and I think everyone else is kind of going to have their struggles. We'll see if Michigan State hit the rough patch at some point, but so far they have not.
Oh, Alex Bozich inside the hall with us. Alex, before we let you go, nice story today. I know it wasn't by you, but by one of your writers about Armon Franklin and his relationship with his aunt. We started the segment talking a little bit about the success he's had this year and preview that story and how to find it before we let you go for someone that may want to catch up on him and hear a unique story, because we're going to talk with his high school coach tomorrow here on the show.
Yeah, it's Seth Tao, who writes for us, a student. Did a really good job on it, and I commented on Twitter that I was proud of the work he did, because it wasn't something that I brought up to him. He actually kind of did the background work. He got Armon's aunt, who's the coach at Penn State, and as I mentioned, a former WNBA player, on the phone. He got Armon on the phone and kind of, this was his idea, and he did a really good job with it. I feel like just kind of talking about their relationship and kind of how she's helped him grow up as a basketball player, and It's a feel good story when you read it, and I think right now there's so much negativity with the fan base and people frustrated with losing. I would definitely just go check it out and read it and kind of give you it'll give you maybe a better idea of the kind of kid and kind of person that Indiana's getting with Armon Franklin. But I just think I've talked to him a couple of times on the phone, don't know him well, and you always hesitate to say, well, this kid's a good kid, because you don't really know him. But I feel like just kind of everything I've read and my conversations with him, that he's going to be a guy who comes in and gets what it means to be an IU basketball player, take it seriously, and kind of having the infrastructure with his aunt. And I know his mom does a great job with him. I think he's going to be a guy that comes in and is successful.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Great friend of this show every Thursday. Thanks for being with us.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with our weekly Southern Indiana basketball update. We'll have a player of the week. We'll take a look at all the top performances over the last 7 days or so of high school basketball. We'll get you ready for this weekend as well. We'll take a look at the schedule, have a game of the week, and some other things you won't want to miss. We always do this on Thursdays, the very latest in high school basketball here in Clark and Floyd counties. Final segment coming up right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Okay, we're back. Final segment on this Thursday show. This is always a fun segment. Lee Kelly is with me for it every week. It's the Southern Indiana basketball update. When we said this, and we say it all the time, but when we wanted to do something to highlight not last year, not just Romeo or not just New Albany, we wanted to include the entire area, take a look at all the big performances, and we've continued that on this season. So we'll start with some of the big scoring performances, individual point production for some of the players here in Southern Indiana.
For Silver Creek, Zane Gross had 17, Cooper Jacoby 16 in the first win ever over New Albany at the Doghouse.
Wow, that first win since 1998 over New Albany in general, but first ever at the Doghouse. And they are a team of the future here in the area. They are a team that I think will give New Albany and the big dogs, Jeff and Floyd Central, that join that group, some problems over the next couple of years. They're going to be very good. Also, a Thursday night performance, Derek Stevenson had 32 points to help New Albany to a big and much-needed victory on the road at Evansville Wrights. It was a rescheduled game to Tuesday from last Saturday night due to snow in the area. In addition to that big 32-point performance on Tuesday, Derek's been shooting the ball really well. He had a number of three-pointers in that game, and he also had 17 points as New Albany, who got off to just a horrific start against Silver Creek on Friday night, tried to make a comeback effort. He finished with 17 points in that losing effort as well. So a big week for the senior from New Albany, who's expected to have a big year, has had some big games, and really for the first time has strung together two big performances for New Albany. One other point performance to mention for the Bulldogs. Julian Hunter had 16 points in the loss to Silver Creek, and probably more important than that 16 points against Silver Creek was the defensive effort he did down the stretch against young Trey Kaufman, who's going to be quite a prospect himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, 25 in a win over Jennings County.
He has been consistent this year, putting up some big numbers, leading the way for the Highlanders. Christian Academy had 22 points from T.J. Proctor in a loss to Southwestern Hanover. They're a very good team. They play a 3-2 zone. It's a little different than what you might normally see. And I know Christian Academy had big hopes in that game, but Southwestern, who beat Jeffersonville handily at home earlier in the season at Southwestern, cruises past Christian Academy. But Proctor's 22 kept him within reasonable distance.
Yeah, just to show you the balance of Silver Creek, Jack Hawkins came up with 23 Tuesday night in a win over Providence. They had a lot of scoring, a lot of people in the scoring column, but it seems to be different players stepping up big time in different games.
Absolutely. A couple other performances to mention. Cade Badger of Henryville. No one has had the performances point-wise that he's had this season. He had 18. And Weston Allen also added 15 in a Henryville win over Providence last week. And then Cade Badger came back with 22 points in a win over Borden. That game took place on Saturday afternoon before the winter weather arrived in the area. So Cade Badger continues to put in some big numbers for Henryville this season.
Yeah, and another name we have mentioned over and over again this season, Hayden Burke of Providence, came up with 15 points in that loss to Henryville.
And he's now healthy. In fact, I think the Pioneers generally are getting back healthy with their full arsenal. So we'll see if they're able to improve things as they move past or move into the latter second part of the season. But Burke, one of the big presences, strong kid for the Pioneers, is now back and healthy. Let's take a look at Player of the Week this week. And again, we've tried to spread this award around, and I think one player in a big win on Tuesday night on the road, and even in a loss on Friday night against a rival, in the middle of that comeback, he was big in that game as well.
Yeah, it's going to be Derek Stevenson. The two big games, Stevenson, I think, scoreless at halftime of that Silver Creek game, came up with 17 in the second half and then came up with 32 against Evansville Wrights on Tuesday night down Evansville way. So he'll be our player of the week, Derek Stevenson of New Albany.
A 49 points in three halves of basketball. I'll take it, you know, so no question about it. Congratulations to Derek Stevenson. He's our player of the week on the Southern Indiana Basketball Report, part of the Hoosier Report we do on Thursdays. Let's take a look at games on Friday. And you mentioned this. It's a big, big slate of games both Friday and Saturday. This is a big weekend for high school basketball.
It absolutely is. In the Hoosier Hills Conference, Jeffersonville, they're on the road at Bedford North Lawrence. Bedford, a little bit of a surprise. We thought they would have a much better record than they have. They're only 8-7, but that'll be a heck of a game at Bedford. I can't wait to hear the talk about the officiating in that game. Borden at Orleans, Charlestown's at Brownstown Central, Christian Academy at Providence, Floyd Central on the road at Seymour, Henryville plays at South Central, Louisville Walden of Kentucky is at Rock Creek Academy. New Albany's at Evansville North, Silver Creek at Madison, Southwestern at Clarksville, and Switzerland County at New Washington.
That's a look at the games on Friday. Saturday, New Albany travels to Jasper, so the Bulldogs were at Wrights on Tuesday. They'll be at Evansville North on Friday, then they'll head back west again to Jasper on Saturday. A lot of miles for the Bulldogs this week. Silver Creek at Bloomington South, that should be a great contest, a real challenge for the Dragons. Bloomington South is good, that's one thing. Playing at Bloomington South is another thing that makes that matchup even tougher. So a good mid-season matchup for Silver Creek to really test things. Bedford is at Charlestown on Saturday. Borden is at Christian Academy. Evansville-Harrison comes to Jeffersonville. Floyd Central goes down to Evansville. They'll take on Evansville Wrights. And, of course, Christian Lander on that team, a potential IU target in the 2021 class. And Rock Creek is at Louisville Brown. They go back across the river this weekend. So lots of games to choose from. I think a couple candidates out there for Game of the Week.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at Friday night's games, I would say it would be Jeff and Bedford North Lawrence, and on Saturday night, Silver Creek at Bloomington South. Great games, though, in other places up and down the board.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other notes. Silver Creek, the seventh highest scoring team in the state right now. They're averaging 73 points a game. Silver Creek is also number two right now in the average margin of victory. That margin is 27 points right now for the Dragons. And you put this on there as well, Lee. Two undefeated teams left in Indiana. Neither of them we can claim from Clark or Floyd counties or anywhere near southern Indiana. But Delta is 15-0 and Northwestern is 13-0. And as we get ready to wrap things up, Lee Kelly, the girls' sectional pairings came out on Sunday. Of course, locally, Bedford, the front runner in the 4A sectional once again this year. They have been so dominant now for a number of years. And the Red Devils, probably the best chance to knock them off in the sectional round. If you look at talent and regular season matchups, they drew each other right out of the gate.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a good sectional. It's going to be at New Albany in the 4A, and there should be some good games in those matchups. Jeffersonville devastated, losing a player very early in the season they were heavily counting on, and it's been a tough year for them trying to pick up the defense and the offense this young lady provided. But should be a whale of a game. They would like nothing better than to knock off Bedford.
Oh, no question about it. Should be a great weekend of high school basketball. A ton of games. This is maybe as many games, at least on Friday and Saturday, that we've had. So it will be interesting to see. Lee, as always, thanks for being with me on Thursdays. It's fun. The high school segment, I think, is good for the area. And it's always fun to talk some IU basketball with Alex Bozich. And we'll do it again next Thursday.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for letting me come play.
That's going to wrap things up. Don't forget, we have a replay of the show each day at 3 o'clock here on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM. And you can find us on podcasts. We're on the SoundCloud app. It's a free download, or just go to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report or Apple Podcasts. Just search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Have a great day. Back on Friday at 11 o'clock here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.